Welcome to The Recap, the part of Pastoring Out Loud where we recap the previous week's sermon. We're here today with Dave, who preached, who's Revelation 9. And Stacy is also here, and Daniel may burst in here like a whirlwind at any moment. We're not sure. So we'll see. Listen to the end. So yeah, Revelation 9. This was a fairly hopeless chapter. Is that how you would describe it? Heavy,
I would say,
doom and gloom.
Yeah.
Without Christ, it's hopeless.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're someone that doesn't have Jesus, it's hopeless. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is always true, but this chapter certainly makes it as ugly as it really is.
More vivid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. That's a good word. Vivid, visceral.
So elaborate on that.
Well, I mean, I think I did in the sermon. I'm just kidding.
Well, that's...
Tell us about it.
It's hard to... It's hard to... I'm trying to think of how to recap all the stuff I said on Sunday. There's two woes that we see here, which are really the fifth and sixth trumpets. The first woe has to do with this kind of horde of what I would call demon locust figures coming out of the abyss, out of the billowing smoke of the abyss, that of a high-ranking demonic officer or Satan himself undoes to let them out. These locusts, I think the way Satan works is through deception and to convince the world that to indulge in sin, that sin's not that serious. I think that's what's going on with these locusts. It's why they've got the pretty crowns on their head, the long flowing hair, the human faces, so that from far away, sin doesn't look so bad. But then you get closer and there's scorpion stings and lion's teeth, and all of a sudden you realize that this is a very dangerous thing.
Right.
And so I think this is meant, I think the just meant to show how Satan's working in the world now. Chapter 8 was kind of the way that God shows his judgment in more, I guess you'd say, like common or temporal means. Like he can upset commerce, he can bring about plagues and devastation on the earth. He can, you know, do whatever he needs to topple empires. This is more of like the personal against the ungodly or the unbelievers, how they're deceived. And again, they're deceived to the point that eventually and I think the picture is as they are given over to this deception, as they are given over to their sin, that's always going to lead eventually to a point that's just hopeless. And so even in this first woe, we see that they want to die, but they can't, which is a really, you know, sad existence. And then the second woe, I think, is kind of sin, Satan, you know, more clearly unveiled. It's horses with armor and fire coming out of the mouth and snake tails biting people again. I think talking about deception and shame that Satan brings on people. I think what's significant about this second woe that I think also helps us understand the first one more is that the power, it says, is in the mouth. And then the power is also with these serpents, which if you read Revelation, you know, Jesus is going to come with a sword coming out of his mouth.
Yep.
The two witnesses, which I think represent, well, I shouldn't give away too much from chapter 11, but certainly represent some form of God's people, have their fire coming out of their mouth, which I think is the witness of God's word. And then even later on, we've got these false witnesses, you know, who have frogs coming out of their mouth. So I think that the point of the mouth in Revelation is significant, that like to believe God's faithful word or to listen to unfaithful, false words is a significant thing. And the main way that Satan works is to say false things, to deceive, to shame. And the saddest part of this whole thing is that after all this stuff, you know, all these vivid pictures of sin and Satan as really God's judgment on the ungodly, they don't repent.
Yeah.
Verses 20 to 21. And I think verses 20 to 21, I didn't say as much as I could have because you just run out of time at some point with these chapters, but I think verses 20 to 21 probably give us a picture of like what kind of deceit people are believing. So what are they not repenting of? And I think that we get pictures there of what they're not repenting of. Sexual immorality, murder, theft. There's even like the sorcery. I didn't go here, but there's a lot of commentators that look at the origin of that word and say that that word was used for things that people would ingest often to induce abortions back in the first century. Huh. So it could even be addressing that more directly. And so just what are people not repenting of? You know, what are people deceived by? What do people think is going to bring them life? I think that verses 20 to 21 give us a good example of where people stay. And then I just ended by saying, so repent.
Yeah.
Repent and walk close with Jesus, because the title of the sermon is No Christ, No Hope. And I said, I thought this chapter was meant to kind of unveil the ugliness of sin and Satan. And yet the good news is that if you have Christ, you have unlimited hope. Mm-hmm. So no Christ, no hope. With Christ, unlimited hope. And there's really no ultimate in between, you know? That's kind of it. It's kind of reality, which I think is what Revelation keeps showing us in very vivid, I like that word, very vivid terms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the vivid pieces of imagery from this chapter was talking about the fire and the smoke and the sulfur. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of last summer when we went to Yellowstone. Mm. And there is sulfur like bubbling up because it's like, you know, underneath this volcano, or it's on this volcano. And just the smell of it, and it's like burning hot, like you don't want to get near it. And it's just, it reminded me of that, like, oh, it just the imagery here of all of that. And it's so just icky. And I really liked how you ended, because like the word to us is like there is still time to repent.
Yeah.
And you said the opposite of all of this is repentance and fellowship with Jesus. So stay as near to Jesus as possible.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a good word for all of us, like to not be complacent. Yeah.
And I think, you know, reading this and hearing it preached, it's hard, and you like don't necessarily want to think about it or look at it square in the face. But I think it's, you know, one of my takeaways is it's good for us as Christians to look at this and to, you know, hate sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we should read this and we should say sin is really bad.
Yeah.
You know, unmask it for what it is when you look at it up close under a microscope. Right. It's horrible. It's ugly. So it should wake us up, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If there are any little ways where we're being deceived or, you know, coddling it or whatever, just no, it's horrible.
Right.
And then the ultimate hope is Christ.
Right. And I think even I've been trying to wrestle with this too, you know, just like ultimately God's in control of this, right? These are all judgments issuing from the throne. And so I think like even how John's going to respond in chapter 10, like it's sweet because God reigns and he judges and he's over all things and his people have salvation, but it's also kind of a bitter to his stomach, like, oh, this is hard to digest.
Yep.
I think that's a good place to be, where we develop great hope in Jesus and great compassion for those who are deceived this way, even though we know ultimately it's God's doing, God's sovereign
control.
So Dave, what
the
would
whirlwind
you say,
of Daniel is here.
What would you say in response to someone who preaches or teaches that the locusts are all literal, that is the only faithful way to read the text, like the sermon I just listened to on the way here from somebody locally? Only faithful way is to say that it's literal.
Yeah, I think, what am I saying this, who am I saying this in front of? It feels like a dangerous question.
Your people from your church that are exclusively the only people that listen to this podcast.
Right. I just think I
exclusively.
I would just say that honestly, it just strikes me as a bit proud, because I think that what we've tried to say is like there's different people that interpret this different ways, and what's really clear is that this is God's judgment, and he's going to bring it about on those who don't believe him. So I think that's the first thing I'd say, is I think when we're interpreting Revelation, any scripture, but Revelation especially, I think there's just I'd want more humility than that, I think, for people that interpret it differently. And the second thing I'd say is what's interesting about people that take those kinds of views is that they tend to toggle back and forth between symbolism and literalism, you know. So as I've been reading commentators who take that view, you know, one chapter and one thing they might take more symbolic and the next thing they might take more literal. And so for me, the more I've studied it, the harder it's been to swallow that interpretation, mainly just because I think there is a way to have an interpretive lens that's got good continuity and internal consistency. And I think it's probably also reading the type of literature that we're in right now more faithfully, you know. So as I read the Psalms, if I need to try to, you know, take the Psalms, which are poetry, literally, like I read narrative, that's going to be awkward. And I think to read apocalyptic literature, that literally is an awkward way to interpret it.
Yeah, it's a hermeneutic that says if we're going to interpret the Bible literally, you know, that means, you know, you have to take everything at face value and not take genre into account and not take the author's intention of what they were meaning. It's just literal, what it says, you know.
Yeah, and oftentimes I've heard people that take the literal approach. If you don't say, well, then you're saying it's not important. And I would just say, well, not literal doesn't mean not important. Not literal means I'm trying to do what Nick just said, and therefore trying to find the real importance.
Yeah, what the author actually intended.
Yeah. I mean, your question was that they're literal locusts. So what locust is like a horse with a face of a human, hair like women? I mean, where do we see that in the world right now?
I think the sermon I was listening to is like, these are spiritual beings that have some kind of physical manifestation that are like this. They've got scorpion tails. The person like put an image up on the screen of what they should, what they'll look like.
Like what I said rendering. Is if you look under a microscope, this is what locusts look like. I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I'm
that's kidding. What you said. That was,
All right. I'm
kidding, yeah.
Dave, I just walked in, but thanks for preaching. It's a good sermon. Looking forward to chapter 10 and 11 and 12 and 13 and 14 and 15
okay.
and
Amen. 16
yep. and fade and 17 and 18 and 19 and 20.